This is Inside Wealth, the ultimate disclosure on Talk 910 KNEW. Living a healthy and happy life is about awakening to matters of your wallet, balanced by concerns of your heart. Now, Stu Zimmerman.
Hello, 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 everybody, and welcome back to Inside Wealth. And if you're new to the program, we're really talking about the kind of wealth that money alone just can't buy. Yeah, we're talking about a joy for living. We're talking about something that, with all due respect to the IRS, the U.S. Treasury, and the Franchise Tax Board, or whatever your state happens to be, collecting those taxes that you probably just paid, possibly even wondering, now what exactly am I getting for this dollar? We're talking here about the kind of wealth that money can't buy, and that no tax man can take from you. How's that? This is all tax-free, tax-exempt, all ours to have and develop. And along those lines, we have a great program today. And this is more than simply entertaining, although we'll certainly do our best to keep it entertaining, because why not, right? We get to have some fun as we evolve and as we grow. We get to do that. And with us today is Alex Patakos, also known as Dr. Meaning. And we're going to find out exactly what that meaning is real shortly. He wrote a fantastic book called Prisoners of Our Thoughts. He is also, which is, by the way, based on the work of Dr. Viktor Frankl, who was, as many of you may know, a concentration camp survivor in Nazi Germany, well-known psychiatrist, and wrote truly a classic book called Man's Search for Meaning. And that's really what we're going to be going into today, is having a deeper search of our own meaning. Because when we tap into that, there truly is so much joy in it. There really is. In addition to Alex, we also have with us our winning business segment, and our good friend Hal Adler is joining us. Hal is the president of the Great Place to Work Institute. You may be familiar. They put out their 100 Greatest Places to Work in Fortune magazine every year. And he's going to share with us some of his insights, specifically from their most recent global conference. So we're getting an inside view in terms of what the greatest companies in the world are looking at. But before you get to Alex and Hal, you get this week's Bowl of Stew. Yeah, this week's Bowl of Stew. You know, it's really food for thought, because we are looking very much at the title of this book that Alex Patakos wrote, called a PhD, by the way, which is why he's called Dr. Meaning, called Prisoners of Our Thoughts. And I started thinking, okay, how am I a prisoner of my thoughts? And you know, it's remarkable. I think so many of, by the way, I've mentioned on prior programs that one of my favorite bumper stickers I've ever seen is, don't believe everything you think. Don't believe everything you think. So as I was driving into the studio today, wondering what it is I'm going to talk about with this week's Bowl of Stew. Yeah, surprisingly, not everything is completely scripted out and well in advance. Some of it is actually extemporaneous in the moment. I couldn't help but notice all the different cars on the road. Some of them, you know, I drive a hybrid, a Prius, you know, everything. You see the pickup trucks, you see the Porsche Carreras, you see the BMWs, you see the Daihatsus, and, you know, old cars, new cars. And, you know, I started looking at all of the cars and the drivers, and I noticed how it was so easy for me to create stories about these people. Oh, that guy talking on the cell phone with the gray hair driving the Porsche Carrera. You know, I'm wondering if he's having an affair, and started thinking about all these other things, that this, you know, hard-charging executive is going through some kind of midlife crisis phase. And then I took a look at this, it looked like a Hispanic gentleman driving a pickup truck, and there was all sorts of crap in the back, or seemingly unrelated items and everything, and I started telling myself a story about that. And I started realizing how easy it is for these stories to pop up. It's so easy. And not that I believed any of them necessarily, and I, you know, just like I could only surmise that people seeing me driving this Prius were probably creating a story about me, which may or may not even be true. And then I started taking a look at all the ways I start imprisoning myself, not only in my thoughts of other people, but my thoughts of myself. And I know that we all do that on some level. I'll give you one example from me. Yesterday, I asked my son Nathan, who spent the day before over at a friend's house overnight. And I said, Nathan, we got Little League. Make sure you bring back all your Little League stuff, your mitt and your cleats and all that other stuff. Okay? Make sure you do that because we have another game coming up and you need to have all of it. Sure, Dad. Whatever you say, Dad. You know, the old in one ear, out the other dad thing. So I asked him as we're about to go to Little League, well, where's your stuff? Oh, it's at my friend's house. I forgot it. Well, I blew a fuse. I started dropping F-bombs on this 10-year-old. I got to tell you, that's just the truth. And I started saying, Nate, I am so angry at you. In fact, you know what? I'm not even angry at you. I'm angry at me. Because I'm judging myself as being a lousy dad right now. Because somehow I must be irresponsible to have a son who's not being responsible either.
And it was interesting. As much as I was really lacing it to him, I was telling him I was really lacing it to myself. And I was berating myself and beating myself up. Which, oh, by the way, I'm not sure whether you ever do that. A lot of people do. And that is one of the things that I've noticed about myself that I've had a tendency to do, which, by the way, good news, it does loosen, especially when you realize what you're doing and you say, is it really true? Is it really true? You know, and cutting myself a little more slack, because underneath all of it, there are other thoughts. Because I'm noticing that the thoughts, and maybe you may notice this as well, that your thoughts actually have a hierarchy. Whereas some of the thoughts are kind of passing and they don't quite mean as much, but you can go down the line or into the core, whatever direction you want to call it, to come to your most profound truths, which you know are operating in all moments. So as I went to the core of prisoner of our thoughts, in my humble estimation, what I noticed is there's one thought that operates the whole game we live in, to the extent we're calling it a game. You could also call it reality. And that is that somehow we're separate from all that is. And somehow there's an us and them. And just maybe there's only us. There's only one humanity. And if there's something that is infinite, that is all that is, call it energy, call it the unified field, call it, some people actually call it God. Whatever you call that, there is this one infinite thing that we're all a part of. It's inside of us and inside each of us. And I'm noticing when I place my thought on that, that maybe there's this one old story way back when Adam and Eve and eating the apple, and next thing you know, people are running around naked, and now they're all with a fig leaf, and oh my God, I'm ashamed. And we spend the rest of our lives, and the rest of generations, somehow apologizing for that inherent imperfection. And that somehow we're to be ashamed of being separate from all that is and separate from each other. So the best we could possibly hope for is some material gain in our lives. Which, of course, for many of us, is not the peak of having meaning. So as I went into what the prisoners of our thoughts meant to me, and I noticed that when I focus on my thought is that somehow we're separate from ourselves, separate from each other and separate from all that is, creates a lot of suffering. It creates a lot of self-judgment. It creates a lot of judgment of others. And ultimately, it's not even based in truth. And maybe it's simply we're all fingers on a big old hand here. Yeah, they're all a little different. They're all unique. They all have different meanings, different purposes, different personalities, different talents. And still, we are all on one hand, all interconnected as the hand of humanity. And when we pay attention to that, our lives shift in incredible ways. And it is happening. Just ask Oprah. And also, let's ask Dr. Meaning, because with us here today is Alex Patakos, PhD, who did write this book, Prisoners of Our Thoughts, which crystallized some of mine in the bowl of stew. And let's hear directly from the source right here, whose work in taking from his mentor, Viktor Frankl, who is incredibly well known for his survival of concentration camp in Nazi Germany and writing one of the definitive books on human awareness called Man's Search for Meaning. And oh, by the way, it's good for women too. With that, here's Dr. Alex Patakas. Alex, thank you so much for joining us on Inside Wealth.
Thank you for inviting me, Stu. Really appreciate it.
Well, I also appreciate not only the book that you've written, which can be great in our personal lives, but also professionally. And before we get into the details of your book, how do you define success?
Well, you know, the if I link it to obviously the topic that I'd like to bring in, which is meaning, success, just like happiness, and this is not just my thinking, this is Viktor Frankl's thoughts on this topic as well. Success and happiness are both things that one cannot pursue. They're basically the results of focusing on something else, which in the case of our discussion here, it's about things that are meaningful to us, meaningful values, meaningful goals and objectives. By caring about other people, by trying to connect ourselves to something that is really an extension beyond who we are, to self-transcendence quality. And it's from those activities and those efforts, that energy that we put beyond ourselves, that's where success ultimately and happiness as well come from. So, again, it's something that you define for yourself, but it's almost like trying to define profanity. I mean, the Supreme Court once said, well, I really don't know how to define it, but I know it when I see it. You know, success is something that, just like happiness, you know, it's hard sometimes to define it in the moment and say, well, this is happiness, and so therefore I'm going to be on this quest for happiness just like I would be for success. Oftentimes, the most successful moments in our lives are things that really happened as a result of us not caring about them. They just happened as a result of caring for someone else, of doing a good deed, and so forth.
So you're looking at success as something that's outwardly expressed, or is it something that's more inwardly experienced?
It's actually both. They're both sides of the same coin, but the focus is on the inward expression and the inward meaningful values, and it's really kind of the basis of the will to meaning that maybe I get a chance to describe and that comes out of my book and Viktor Frankl's work. But really, it's that intrinsic motivator as opposed to the extrinsic manifestation. So when we're intrinsically motivated by things that matter to us, then the outward manifestations that occur, they become manifestations of either happiness, success, you know, as we define it. There are other people who we look at them and we say they have all the outward things that we could imagine would be quote-unquote successful, money, you know, material things and so forth, and yet they're clinically depressed.
Mm.
So there's something inside themselves that's missing, and that's really what the meaning it's filling that vacuum, that existential vacuum that Viktor Frankl wrote about, that becomes kind of the basis, the platform from which success and happiness, where they come from. That's what he refers to it as. You don't pursue success or happiness ensue from doing good deeds, from caring for other people, for doing things that really are beyond yourself.
Mm. You know, not many of us know who Viktor Frankl is and your relationship with him. So why don't we, before we get into your book, why don't you give everybody listening here a little primer on him.
Yes. Well, in a nutshell, Viktor Frankl was a Viennese psychiatrist. He was a physician and neurologist initially, and then he became a psychiatrist. He was a student of Sigmund Freud, as well as a student of another psychiatrist in Vienna called Alfred Adler, who's the father of individual psychology. And Frankl's most well known for the fact that he survived the Holocaust. He survived four Nazi concentration camps, including Auschwitz. His book, as you mentioned, Man's Search for Meaning, has been identified by the Library of Congress as one of the top 10 most important books of the 20th century.
Wow.
He did write 32 books, plus hundreds and hundreds of articles and so forth. His work is profound. There are many millions of people who have been influenced by Man's Search for Meaning and other works that he's done. But the idea behind Prisoners of Our Thoughts is really to kind of bring more of his philosophy and approach to everyday life, including our everyday work life, so that you don't feel like you've got to be ill or you've got to be in psychotherapy in order to practice these principles.
We're here with Alex Patakos, PhD, who not only studied directly under Viktor Frankl,
but is also the principal of the Innovation Group, which is a consulting firm working with companies like Citigroup and ADP and Bristol-Myers, major corporations. So we're taking an application here about search for meaning and actually applying it specifically to work. In fact, we're going to let our sponsors do a little work right now, and we'll be right back with more with Alex Patakos right here on Inside Wealth. I'm Stu Zimmerman, creator of Inside Wealth. Welcome to the movement that takes your wealth to the next level, beyond the surface of money to the service of money, where you get provocative commentary and lively conversation about inside wealth, right here on Talk 910 KNEW.